Good evening.
Have you ever had it up to here with something? It's never a good thing whenever you're feeling up to here with anything. Usually we say it when we have reached some sort of threshold. Typically we say it in a way that means that we are filled with so much of an emotion. Again, typically not a good one, whether it's anger or you know, whatever it may be, impatience, or we feel like we can't take it anymore. We kind of feel like a tire that has far too much pressure in it, and one more pump, and we're just going to explode. Well, we can see many places in the Old Testament where the house of Israel was really at a threshold with God, where he was not going to take it anymore. Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 15 is a very good example of this. We read, "For a voice declares from Dan and proclaims wickedness from Mount Ephraim. Report it to the nations now. Proclaim over Jerusalem, besiegers come from a far country and lift their voices against the cities of Judah. Like watchmen of a field, they are against her round about because she has rebelled against me, declares the Lord. Your ways and your deeds have brought these things to you. This is your evil, how bitter, how it has touched your heart." The wrath of God was going to break out against this people, but we also see how they would find relief back in verse 14. God says, "Wash your heart from evil, O Jerusalem, that you may be saved. How long will your wicked thoughts lodge within you?" What a relief it would be to be in verse 14 if you were facing everything in verse 15 and on. Well, it's kind of hard to think about it sometimes, and really it's something that we don't like to think about at times, but we were at a threshold with God as well. Whenever sin comes into our life, we become guilty. We read in Ephesians 2 in verse 1, "And you were dead in your trespasses and your sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. We had the anger of God stored up against us," just the exact same way that Israel did. We were not children of God, we were children of wrath. But this passage talks about these things in the past tense. In an instant, when we turned our lives to Christ, when we were saved through Christ, that was gone. We read in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11, "Such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of God." In an instant, that wrath that we were filled with, that threshold that we had reached, was drained. The relief valve was turned on. And what a relief that is. But I must admit, very often I don't feel like I'm living a life of relief. Sometimes I feel like I'm still living life at a threshold. But my own thresholds. I just feel up to here so often with stress, with worry, with whatever it may be, frustration. And there may be more than one reason for that, but I guess thinking about this new life that has been given to me, this life that has been emptied out of this wrath that stood against me, maybe I'm not being very careful of what I'm filling it back up with. And it may be that I'm filling that life up or back up with the things that I used to. We read again in Ephesians 2 and verse 3, "Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." I think of this word indulging. I think of indulging as giving in, right? It's giving into that piece of chocolate cake at midnight, or whatever it is that we might find as our indulgence. And usually we do so. We indulge ourselves because the things that we're giving into are treats to us. They're the special things, and you know, maybe we even feel like we deserve them. Do we still indulge from time to time in the desires that we used to? Whether it's attitudes or whatever it may be. My emotions are where I find I am guilty of this. I'm no stranger to the feelings of Jonah. God asked Jonah in Jonah 4 and verse 9, "Do you have good reason to be angry about the plant?" And he said, "I have good reason to be angry even to death." Do I have any right or any reason to be angry or to be jealous or to be envious or to be prideful about anything or about anyone? And my answer, a lot of times in those situations, are of course I do. I have every right to be angry or jealous or whatever it may be. And it feels like I am rewarding myself by giving in to these feelings. But I'm really missing out on the real truth. We once lived lives in the lusts of our flesh, but what good did that do? God said back in Jeremiah, be washed of evil so that you may be saved. It's righteousness that gives life, and because of that, it's righteousness that is the real treat. Why don't we indulge ourselves in being upright, or indulge ourselves in being good, or indulge ourselves in being merciful? In these cases, we can spoil ourselves. It's actually not a bad thing, and it spoils others around us too. But we have to be active, and we have to be perceptive about things, because sometimes we don't even realize that we're indulging in these bad things. Again, back in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God. Paul, in this passage, encouraging others not to be deceived, highlights the fact that these things can be deceptive. And I feel like we can kind of see how in the previous section. We go back to verse 1. Paul is writing to them and he says, does any of you, when he has a case against his neighbor, dare to go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? In verse 4, so if you have law courts dealing with matters of this life, do you appoint them as judges who are of no account in the church? I say this is your shame. Is it so that there is not among you one wise man who is able to decide between his brethren? But brother goes to law with brother, and that before unbelievers? You know, whatever matters of righteousness that these brethren concern themselves with and think about within their lives, they're not viewing the whole scope of their lives. Because Paul is pointing out, you're suing your own brethren. And his answer is, what are you doing? Can you really not settle these things between yourselves? And maybe their pride deceived them. Maybe they felt like they were doing the right thing, especially if they felt like they were wronged at first. I could definitely see where they might feel that. Giving in to these desires feels like the right thing. That's where they deceive us. They put on this disguise like an invasive weed. They put on these showy flowers. They look harmless enough, but you know, all they want to do is survive and take over our lives. And in the end, you know, they do, and they breed these terrible feelings, these bad feelings within us, because they are not the feelings that we have been created for now. The way that it works with truly good disguises, if you really want to see through a good disguise, is the only way that we'll see through them is if we want to, and if we try to, and if we look for them. Do not be deceived, and do not be afraid to stare deeply at the everyday of our life and the things that we are doing and compare it with the standard of God's Word and pull up the things that don't need to be there. Paul says in Philippians 3 and verse 16, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. With the freedom and relief that we have been given through Christ, we need to fill our lives and indulge ourselves with different things than we used to. Thinking again back to 1 Corinthians 6, instead of being fornicators and idolaters, we need to fill our lives with the purity and faithfulness to our spouses and to God. Instead of giving in to an alteration of what God has made us to be, a perversion, like those who practice homosexuality, we need to fill our lives with His intent for us. Whether that's as spouses, whether that is as parents, you know, in all relationships, in all assets of life. Instead of being adulterers, fill our lives with cherishing our spouses. Instead of being thieves or covetous, fill our lives with the contentment of what we have. Instead of being revilers, fill our lives with being the peacemakers of the world. Instead of being swindlers, be honest. Again, Paul says, such were some of us, but this is who we are now. This is what we look like now. Whenever we talk about being up to here with something, again, that's never really a good thing. We never say, you know, I'm filled up to here with joy, or I'm filled up to here with peace, or anything like that. We should be far beyond, you know, right here with that. with joy, with peace. I mean, you think about it, we've been washed. Now we have peace and we have relief through Christ Jesus. But we do have to be careful about what we're indulging ourselves with, because the things that sometimes we do it, that we indulge ourselves with are disguised as the treats of life, but really they're just giving into the same things that we used to. We are new people. We have been made new. We have crossed over these thresholds into a new life that only Christ Jesus could bring us into. Let's live that life and not our old one. Do you still need to begin that new life this evening? I think it's time to do that. If you'd like to do that, please come forward. Be baptized into our Lord and Savior while we stand and as we sing.